Amen. Praise the Lord for the special this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 100. Psalms in chapter 100. We preached on Psalms 100 last week, and I mentioned to you that it was going to be somewhat of a two-part, just too much to get in one message. And yet there was two powerful messages that I really hadn't preached before. Psalms 100 is a very well-known psalms in the Bible. We can sing it in a song. We turned it into a song that we can sing. Of course, God had for the children of Israel to sing the psalms as a songbook for the children of Israel. And they sang these songs, and they had God's message in every one of them. And it's a blessing to know. There's so many biblical principles we can learn from the Psalms 100. And I've preached many thanksgiving messages and praise messages out of verse 4. And that's how we come into the gates, enter into His gates, come into His presence through the gates. And outside of thanksgiving, you can't have a hearing with God. You can't come into His presence. We have to come to Him being very thankful. And then His course is a very getting close to Him. We get closer to God as we start realizing that we just want to praise Him. He's worthy of our honor and worship and praise. And just a great verse. But what I focused on last week is verse 2. And we're going to read this once again. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to read Psalms 100, verses 1 down to verse 5. Only five verses. And focused on verse 2. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And here it is. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before You this morning, we love You and thank You that You first of all loved us and giving us the opportunity to love You. Thank You for revealing Yourself to us that we might know who You are. And then for the privilege it is to worship You and to praise Your name and to serve You. And I pray this morning, God, that You would meet with us in a very special way. I pray that everyone in this place would sense Your presence. And I pray, God, that You'd give each one that ear to hear what You have for them today. I pray that You would use me as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Serve the Lord with gladness. Service is doing what God has us on earth to do. Accomplishing what God has us here on this earth to accomplish. That's serving the Lord. That's what He's looking for us to accomplish and to serve Him, to do what God has for us to do on this earth. Gladness is pleasure of mind. Pleasure of mind. Making sure that we have right thinking, and our thinking is that of worship and praise and thanksgiving. Pleasure of mind, cheerfulness, joy. You'll find those two words, cheerfulness, cheerfulness, all throughout the Bible, joy throughout the Bible. Just it's what God would have us, how God would have us to live. So serving the Lord with gladness. How are we to do this? And last week we preached on know who you're serving. He is a creator God. He created humanity. He created the environment for humanity before He created humanity. God has a design for humanity. He designed the body. He knows more about the body than anyone. He knows more about the design. He knows more about the mind, everything about how it functions. God created it. He has a design for it. He's a creator God. He knows you better than you could ever know yourself. But not only is He a creator God, He's a shepherd. Verse 3 tells us He created us and He's a shepherd, not a prison guard in a watchtower with a high-powered rifle looking to shoot anyone that tries to get too close to the wall, especially if you try to go over the wall. He's a shepherd. He is good. Verse 5, just knowing who He is. Know who you're serving. You're serving a God that is always good, no matter what. Don't be confused by the world. Don't be confused by the flesh. And don't be confused by the devil himself into thinking that God has made a mistake and God is not good to you. God is always good. It's impossible for God not to be good. He is merciful. Amen. Withholding of deserved punishment. His mercies are new every day. They never run out. And His truth is eternal. He'll never change it on you. Once God says something, you can bank on it. It's always going to be the same. If He made a promise, it's always going to be there. He said, this is truth, mark it down. His truth endureth to all generations. They do not change. That's who we serve. If we allow the world, the flesh, or the devil to blind us to who He is, we will lose our gladness in serving. So don't be blinded to that. First of all, know who you're serving. And then this morning, serve Him. The emphasis on Him, the Lord. We're here on this earth to serve Him, to accomplish whatever God's purpose is for our lives on this earth. Serve Him. Don't do it for the pat on the back. Don't do it to please this person, primarily to please this person or that person, or to be a part of this congregation or another congregation. Listen to me. What we have to do, if we're going to serve the Lord with gladness, and that's how God would have us to live, with this sound mind, with this pleasure of mind, with this cheerfulness, with this joy, we first of all need to understand who it is we're serving. And then once we understand who it is we're serving, serve Him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Look at Psalms over a page, Psalms 104. Serve Him. Psalms 104, actually two pages, if you look at verse 33 down to verse 35. The psalmist says this, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. I love that. O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Serve Him. When we truly know the Lord and what He has done for us, and not only what He has done for us in the past, but as we serve the Lord today, we understand what He's done for us in the past and what He's going to do for us, especially for those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose, His will, to those who will serve Him. How could we not find gladness in that? And having, if you will, the privilege of serving a Creator God. It's a privilege. If you know who He is, know what He's done for you, and know what He's going to do for you. If you truly understand that, you know that, you'll look at it as a privilege to serve Him. Once we're saved, life, according to the Word of God, is all about serving Him. I have to get this established. Life, the life that I live, is all about serving Him. As a matter of fact, He tells us almost those exact words in Galatians. Let me just read it to you. Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. This is a Paul being a believer passing this on. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. It's not my life to live as I want to live it anymore. I was bought with a price, the blood of Christ. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My life is to be lived for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past, behold, all things are becoming new. So what is my life? What is my life? That's what I'm going to preach on this morning, serving Him with your life. What is my life? You have to know what it is. It is He that hath made us. God designed life. First of all, life as a dependent. All of us come into this world the very same way. Our parents went to the cabbage patch and picked us up out of the cabbage patch and took us home. As a dependent, children are a heritage of the Lord. That's what Psalms 127, verse 3, they come from God. God designed a way for us to produce a physical body, and God put the spirit or the life of that child inside of that physical flesh in the womb. Children serve the Lord by obedience and honoring their parents. A dependent. We all come into this life the very same way, and God has a purpose for our lives from the very beginning. From the very beginning, God has a purpose for that life that He has placed in that womb, and it has an impact on the parents even inside the womb. And as that grows in that, it's impacting that parent. It is helping that mom to expand, if you will. It impacts her life. It changes things. It changes their marriage. It changes things when you go through pregnancy. And for those 9 months, can I tell you that it changes things. And if you continue to look to the Lord, it can actually be a blessing to strengthen that marriage through some of the trials that we go through, and especially for the women in labor. I'm sure glad every time I hear of somebody giving birth, I thank God that He created me a man. But God has a purpose for that, and so as His purpose for as a dependent, He reveals to us in Ephesians in chapter 6 that children are to obey their parents, and they're to honor their parents, and they are to do it with gladness. When they're being raised biblically, and they're experiencing what God wants them to experience in the influences of their lives, they will obey. And they will honor. Because they will know it's how they are to serve God. If you raise them to serve you and to honor you first, they won't always do that. Because you're not always honorable. Truth of the matter is, sometimes you're going to command them to do things that's really not best for them to do. And they see through that, but when you raise them to know the Lord, when you raise them biblically, exactly as God says to raise them, and you make sure the influences that come into their life is what God wants them to be influenced by, when their little brains are growing and making sure that what is taking place and putting into that brain and helping develop that brain is biblical, they won't believe in evolution, they'll believe in a Creator God. And as soon as they get to that age of accountability, they will willingly have their own free will because of what they've experienced and how you have helped them to develop. They will readily receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior because of who He is. And they will serve the Lord with gladness. So their life, all of us come into this life the same. Sad to say, but not everyone is raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not everyone had their brains developed the way God wanted it to develop with all the right things. But that doesn't take away from God's command. Every dependent ought to serve the Lord with gladness by honoring and obeying their parents. As God would have them to. As a husband or wife, now I can't, we have to briefly go through some of these. There's too much in 1 minute. But the idea there, as we get the next step, truly the next major step is marriage. God designed marriage. Mark in chapter 10. If God designed it, there's service in marriage. And we're to serve Him. Serve the Lord with gladness. We find in the book of Genesis, God established the first marriage and He established the plan for His will and how they were to serve one another in marriage. Jesus reaffirmed some of those things in Mark in chapter 10, the very same thing that God established and His design for a man and a woman to come together in unity. In Mark in chapter 10 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But from the beginning of the creation, He created us." Don't lose sight of that. Okay, marriage, if He created us, He designed a man for a woman. He designed a woman for a man. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to view the human body to determine that. And yet, humanity has been so deceived by the devil today, they think otherwise. And they'll not serve the Lord if you start thinking otherwise, let alone with gladness. But as long as you continue to understand who God is, He is the creator of all things. He made you, and He made you, first of all, as a dependent, as a child coming into this world. But at some point, He made you for marriage. Whether you be a man or a woman, He created you, designed you for one day being married. In chapter 10 of Mark, in verse 6, "From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." God has designed blessings for our lives. Designed blessings as we serve the Lord to encourage us to serve the Lord with gladness. These designed blessings make it easier to serve Him. How could we not find gladness in God's design for marriage? How could it be that when you stood at the altar in front of God and family and friends and looked into the eyes of that person that you were getting ready to commit your life to be all that you could be for them, and you said your I wills and I do's, how could you not be glad? How could you not look to God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the design that you have designed for me, my wife, my companion for life, someone that I have such a love and desire to be with, someone that together we are going to be one." And that's part of serving you? Whoa! It's your design. You designed her and every part of her for me, and you placed within me a desire for her. And you designed me for her, and you placed within her a desire to have me. And we get to live together as one for a lifetime. It's only through death that we be divided to separate. That in itself, that is a design blessing that God has designed for us to rejoice over, to find gladness in, to be happy about, and then to, on top of that, realizing, I get to do this in serving you. It's like eating dessert. I don't know that any parent has a hard time forcing their child to eat dessert. Now, you might have to get them tempted with dessert to finish their green beans or their spinach or whatever it might be to eat their food. But they eat their food looking to the dessert. And they're being obedient by eating what you put in front of them. God has designed blessings in our life that we get to look to God and we can say, whoa, this is a blessing to be able to serve you with gladness and have taken this woman as my wife, taking this man as my husband, and looking forward to a life together. Companionship. It makes it easy to serve the Lord with gladness. But when things are not biblical, when one or possibly both get away from God's design, and we let the world, the flesh, or the devil change our thinking, it makes it harder. If I'm focused on my wife, or if I'm focused on this man, and yet he is not thinking clear, thinking right. He's not being the man that God wants him to be. She's not thinking right. She's not being the kind of wife that God wants her to be. Makes it very difficult to continue to be the right husband, to continue to be the right kind of wife. If one holds on to serving God with gladness, there's hope. It's just one. When you lose the joy and the gladness of serving that individual because of the blessings of serving that individual and living together with the blessings of that because they're not what they should be, then I continue to be what I should be in that relationship, because ultimately, in that relationship, I'm serving God. You serve the Lord. He's designed the blessings to make it easier for us to serve Him, but sometimes it's not as biblical as it should be. God does not force. He gives us free will. But God's always the same. I know who He is. And primarily, in whatever it is in life, I'm going to serve the Lord. The only thing that you can truly control in any relationship is you. You will not give an account for that which your husband did. You will not give an account for what your wife did. You will not give an account for how your children turn out. You will give an account for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Serve the Lord. The focus on the Lord, Him, with gladness. Because His will never changes. He never changes. I know who He is. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 7... it's a great chapter concerning marriage and how God has given each one to each other in the early beginning of chapter 7. But I want you to look at verse 13 and 14. and the woman which hath a husband that believeth not. Now listen to me. He might be saved, but if he's acting like a lost man, you treat him like a lost man. She might be saved, but if she's acting like a lost lady, a woman, you treat her like a lost woman. You try to help her, first of all, as you would a lost person, to truly know that you're saved or get saved, so that you'll change your heart and change your thinking and change your desires. And so what he's doing here, he says, and the woman which hath an unhusband that believeth not, or is acting like he's unsaved, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, if he allows her to continue to serve the Lord, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Now that sanctification is not talking about salvation. That husband, even though he might be lost because of the wife who is looking to serve God, has been set apart and God will work in his life. Sanctified, set apart, and God's going to deal with him because he is married to a saved individual. And God is going to start working on his life. And through the testimony of the saved individual that is serving the Lord with gladness, going to give this individual a better opportunity to get saved themselves, or if they are saved, to repent of their sin and come back to living with God's blessings upon their life. That's what he's saying. And then he says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. It goes both ways. And not only that, and were your children unclean, but now are they holy. One's life can influence the other and the children. If you serve the Lord. And not only just serving the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness. Understanding how God will work through your testimony will bring gladness. Even when it's difficult. Well, once we get married, what is life about? Life is designed to have children. I think everybody's in agreement there. Yeah, God designed the body, and He designed the woman's body to be able to, amen, prepare and give birth. That's God's design. Don't look at me. Amen? I was going to say we have to live with you. I'm not going to say that. Wouldn't say that. There is a struggle on both ends. But God's design for parenting. Ephesians chapter 6. Bring them up. Raise them. Can I tell you that it's another design blessing? How can you not be blessed when you see what God has, the miracle of childbirth? And you look at this little one that's just been birthed, and you realize that's part of me. And it's part of my wife or my husband. God has used the two of us to accomplish this. Wow. And you look at that new life, the miracle of birth, and can I tell you, how can there not be gladness there? How can there not be a sense of joy? How can there not be a sense of pleasure of mind in realizing what has happened and how God designed it? Now the child is here and we have this baby. It's a blessing for God in our home, and we get to together. And that child needs both mother and father. And together we have the privilege of serving God by raising our children. Thank you, Lord. You made it easier for me to raise these children when I understand who you are and understand that you bless me with this child. We can serve the Lord with gladness. We can serve the Lord as a parent, gladly raising that child. But when difficult times come,
Anyone that's raised children realize they're coming. It might not be as easy to find gladness in doing the right thing. It's not as easy to find gladness when I realize that I've got to discipline this little baby. I've got to discipline because they have a sinful nature. No parent wants to hear that their child has a sinful nature, but every child has a sinful nature. And the thing that will help them to one day learn to discipline themselves is to raise them with discipline. To raise them to realize there's a consequence to wrong behavior. You don't get your way when you throw a temper tantrum. You don't get your way when you cry and scream and hold your breath and pass out. Listen to me, they will breathe before they'll die. It might be a little more difficult to look at God and say, Lord, I've got to discipline this little baby girl that's looking to me as her father with a tear in her eye. But I'm serving the Lord with gladness. Even though it's not as pleasurable, it's not as much fun, the discipline. It's how they're to be raised. When they get older, it makes it difficult sometimes to make the decision not to support them in their sin. Not to let them come back and live at home when they're still drinking and carrying on living a life of sin. Can't do that. Can't serve them with gladness when I focus just on them. But I can serve the Lord with gladness as long as I know I'm doing what He would have me to do in raising my dependent. Doing it His way will give them the best chance to turn out right. It's a blessing, a designed blessing to start with, but it's not always going to be easy to do the right thing. But as long as I know that I'm first of all serving the Lord with gladness, then I can raise that child as God would have me to raise that child. And doing it His way is the very best thing that I can do for the child that He has given to me to raise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Life moves on. Life includes being a member of a local New Testament church when you get saved. Psalms in chapter 122, and I'm going to rush get through this. This is downhill from here. Amen? 122, verse 1 says this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25, understanding that we're not to forsake this. Tell me, it's a designed blessing when you find the home church. When you find the place, when you walk in and you realize the presence of God is in this place. And then you sense God speaking to us, speaking to you. It's not necessarily just the preacher. It's not just necessarily the type of music. It does include those things. But it's God speaking to you and ministering to your needs. I tell people that I want everyone, when they walk out these doors, to believe that the message was just for you individually. I never preach to individuals. But if you're where God wants you to be, God will speak to you as if you were the only one there. If you have a right focus on the service and you're looking for God to speak to you, He will speak to you as per your need. What a blessing it is. Lord, it's easy for me to go to that church. It's easy for me to serve You by going there and being blessed by the music and being blessed by the people who are so friendly and the message that spoke right to my heart. Lord, You've given me this. What a blessing. It is a blessing to serve You with gladness going to that church. But the honeymoon kind of wears off for some faster than others. And then you meet that one person that every church has. You're sitting in my chair. You've got my parking space. Who do you think you are? I've been here. I'm a charter member of this church. And we think, is everybody thinking that about me? No, it's just that one person. But Satan's going to make you think it's everybody. Because he doesn't want you in the will of God. The design blessing gets a little harder when you run into those difficult situations. When difficult times come, keep serving God. Did God lead you to that church? Has God spoke to you through that church? Has God put it in your heart that you need to be a part of that church? Serve the Lord. Do what God tells you to do. And serve Him with gladness. And then, of course, we have in our lives occupation. As an employee, Ephesians 4:1 tells us, whatever that occupation is, serve the Lord in that occupation. Most choose their line of work. It might not be what you thought you were going to be when you were little. If it didn't, this world would be overrun with firemen and police officers and doctors. But most choose, and it's something that you have a heart for, something that you have a desire for. And it's easy to go to work when you're doing what you wanted to do. It's easy to go and serve the Lord, even in my place of work, when everything's going the way I want it to go. But we find it difficult to go to work. Find gladness in serving the Lord at work. Person at work has given you a hard time. The work loads change. You have a different supervisor, whatever it might be. And what once was a gladness, it was easy to go to work and have a testimony for Christ and go there and serve the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the job. But when things are difficult, to be able to get up every morning and go to a place of employment, knowing that I'm going to face struggles, different situations, circumstances. You go because God has you there for a purpose. Your testimony is what's important. And you serve the Lord even in your place of occupation. Find gladness in serving the Lord. Gladness is found in being all that God wants us to be. Can I tell you that man can have too high of expectations of us? And your employer, most are going to ask more than what they even think you can give. And they can put too high of expectations on us. I first and foremost, I'm not looking to please my employer. I'm looking to please my God. And in serving the Lord, even in my occupation, doing all that I know that God would have me to do, I can find gladness. God does not have too high of expectations. God has expectations, but not too high. As a pastor, I had the desire, and God put me in the ministry. I won't go back on my testimony. But what a blessing it is. I would rather be a pastor than anything else. I just thank God that He called me and He's enabled me and allowed me to pastor this church for 28 years. For most of the 28 years, I've served the Lord and thanked Him with gladness being the pastor of this church. But can I tell you, it's not always been that way. There have been times in the 28 years that I didn't want to be the pastor of this church. I didn't want to pastor certain people. And if I look to those people to find gladness in me, whether or not I was going to continue to pastor this church, I would have quit. I would have resigned the pastorate, or I would have went to a different church. I've continued to just serve the Lord with gladness. Even when it's difficult, it's not the blessing that it could be. Continue to serve the Lord. And you'll be amazed how when you continue to serve the Lord with gladness, how He'll turn things around, to where you can actually enjoy the design blessings of serving the Lord in this life. I determined I would not let people determine my gladness in serving the Lord as a pastor. I can't control what anyone does. I can't control if you come to church or stay home. I can't control whether you listen or go to sleep during the message. I can't control whether you make the application or not. All I can do is control what God has me here to do. And I'm going to find gladness in serving the Lord, looking to Him, and making sure I'm doing everything that God has for me to do. In every area of life, serve Him, the Lord, with gladness. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. No one can control you but you. Whether you realize it or not, your gladness is not dependent upon man or circumstances or situations. Your gladness, your joy, your contentment is dependent upon God. It's His design. Know who He is, and then serve Him with gladness. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word and for meeting with us this morning. And I pray, God, that each one here would have received what You had for them. And right now, God, if there's decisions that need to be made, I pray that You would direct them. If there's someone here that needs to be saved, Lord God, I pray that they would look to You before it's eternally too late, today possibly, and receive You as Savior. For those that are looking, Lord God, possibly even coming in here this morning, ready to quit, ready to turn away from serving You and being the Christian husband or wife or parent or employer, employee or whatever, the church member, Lord God, I pray that they would see things more clearly now and realize what they must do is just to look to You, a God who never changes, and serve You with gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.